It's always a blessing to hear a testimony of God's saving grace in a life. Some people, you know, don't like to hear testimonies or don't feel that they should be part of any church service. I don't believe that. I thank God that we're able to have betimes those who will stand up and say what the Lord has done for them and salvation. Many of God's people can look back to a specific time, a specific day or night in which the Lord saved them. And I can recall the night and the date and the time near enough to when I was saved. But you know, there's some of God's people, and for some reason or another, they can't put a date on it. And they can't remember it. But dear saint, be encouraged tonight. If that is you, and you can't remember the date in which you were saved, the Lord remembers, and that's the most important matter. And I state that because when reading the little book of Hosea, you come across a detail of that nature. And it throws much light on a former passage. And the passage is the passage that we've read this evening. And the Scriptures often do that, you know. There was a divine of old who said that the Scriptures are themselves the best commentary on themselves. And you maybe hear me talk about commentaries at times, and we've read this man or we've read that man. But you know, the best commentary of all in the Scriptures is the Word of God. And Hosea 12, in the words of verse 4, speaking in the context of Jacob, says this: He, that is God, found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Now just let me explain the plural thus. It refers to Israel. And what God is reminding them through his servant Hosea is that the blessings that Jacob received were exactly what they were to receive. For the covenant promises of God do not change. They too, as a nation, were the heirs of the rich promises of God if they walk with him. But let me take you back to that other little phrase. He found him in Bethel. And there we're given the place where God met with Jacob. And Jacob was never to be the same again. It was the place of his new birth. It was the place of his conversion from being a supplanter and a twister to being a child of the King. And that little sentence as part of that verse invariably brings you and I back in time to Genesis chapter 28. Because here we have Jacob at Bethel. We are aware, of course, of the circumstances that finds him left with no choice but to leave home. He had deceived his brother out of the blessing. There was an obvious threat now upon his life and the vengeance of a brother that was ready to rise up and get his own back. And he was now being sent back to his mother's people with that clear and that precise order that he was not to marry a woman of one of the tribes of the Canaanites, but with the blessing of God upon him, he would find a suitable bride when he arrived back with his uncle Laban. A woman who had a godly upbringing and a woman who knew the God of his fathers. It's a little bit what we were dealing with this morning with Abraham's servant sent to look for the suitable bride for Isaac. And if she was as half as good as Rebekah was, then truly Jacob would have found himself a good thing and obtained favor of the Lord. But my friend, it is my desire to help you to consider what happened on his way to Laban's house at this place which was to be called Bethel. For it was there that God found him. I want you to understand that that's what Hosea says. And he found him at Bethel. And that reminds us it wasn't the other way around. For the Scriptures remind us that there's none that seeketh after God. It's not you finding God. It's God finding you, the sinner. And it's God who finds the sinner as he did with Jacob and as he can do with you tonight. And he found him by the means of a ladder As I draw your attention to the words of my text in verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, the ladder set on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. I want you to consider, first of all, here, the visit to Bethel. The only thing that Jacob himself makes reference to that he had with him. In Genesis 32, as he looks back, as he passed over the Jordan, he spoke about his staff. And the staff is that which is acquainted with the hand of the shepherd. And it is the staff that the shepherd uses to cause the sheep to pass under it so that they could be numbered in. The staff or the rod was also used to direct the sheep as where to go. And at times he would push some sheep along which seemed to be lagging behind. And at other times he would use the staff in order to fetch those who have seemed to have gone astray. And the staff would also be used to fight back the wolves and the dogs which would seek to devour the sheep. It's a little wonder then that the psalmist in that great shepherd psalm, he says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And I bring that out to you because Jacob, unknown to him, was being led by the great shepherd of the sheep, and he would soon know the impact of that staff, the staff of God's word, upon his own life. Understand that in going out from home, he was to be led of God. He was to journey from Beersheba and onward, and he passed Hebron and onward to Bethlehem, and maybe even by Mount Moriah, where his father was to be offered as a sacrifice, but where he was spared by that ram caught in the thicket. The first day's journey nearly completed, because the sun was now setting and Jacob was led of God to a particular spot. And that spot was known as Luz at the first. And what he renamed as Bethel. God led him to this place because there he was going to meet him. And it's a wee bit, if we come into the New Testament, it's a wee bit like Zacchaeus. And there's another story or narrative that the children are often taught in their Sunday school days. And this curiosity of Zacchaeus, that little man, was to bring him to that tree. And he got up into the tree in order to see Christ as he passed by. But you know, he didn't know. Zacchaeus didn't realize that the Lord had already ordained that he would be there. And God made that tree so that Zacchaeus would be there. And Christ would meet with him as he passed that way. And the same is the case with a woman of Samaria who came out to the well to fill her pots. And she was to learn of the water from which one who never thirsts from. And she met the man whom she came to realize was the Christ who was promised. And Jacob was led to this spot by God. And he was led here that he might receive the blessing of salvation. You see, the words there tell us in verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place and he tarried there all night. And that's no coincidence. God led him to that place, to that very particular spot in which he would put down his head on those stones and he would make his bed there. God led him to Bethel. And you know, he came to Bethel loaded with sin. He had sinned terribly against his brother and his father. He had through deception, stole the blessing that was due to Esau. And in fear of his life, he was now running from that home. Oh, the burden of sin that must have been upon the heart and upon the mind of Jacob as he prepared to lie down that first night. And of course, prior to that, he had taken the birthright of his brother. He had given it, or got it, from a mere pottage of stew, as we would say. Jacob was living up to his name, for his name means twister or supplanter. He was twisting in his sin. And one can see now the consequences of his sin, for there always are consequences to sin. He had to flee from the home. He has no bed. He has no tent. He's no covering for the night but the panoply of God's heaven. He's no pillows but the stones that were upon the ground. And such is the deadness of his conscience and the depravity of man in general that he is content to lie down in order to sleep. what miserable circumstances he found himself in. All because of sin. And dear people, learn that sin has its price. There are the consequences of it, of which the devil, when he allures you to it, will never mention. And the heaviest price of sin that has to be paid is death. And that for all eternity, if you should die without having your sins pardoned. And Jacob was realizing, he was knowing now the consequences of his sin. But alas, it was dead to his conscience as he tried to sleep. Jacob came to Bethel that night, a guilty sinner. But you know, he came to Bethel that night as a lost soul. But remember again what is recorded in Hosea 12. There he found him. And the implication being that he was a lost soul, not in the sense of not knowing where he was going or how to get to his Uncle Laban's house, but he was lost spiritually. And it also implies to us that God is one who seeks out sinners. For the Lord Jesus came that he might seek and save that which is lost. In the same token, consider the words of verse 16 of our chapter. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And you see, now he's in awareness of God. He says, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. And my friend, when you read those little words of verse 16, don't just merely think in the context of the physical sleep. Yes, it is that. But again, there's the very time when Jacob awaked out of a sleep of death. Here's the very moment when God awakened him. And God met with him. And I look at this young man, and surely there's a picture of some who are under the sound of my voice tonight, even in the house of God tonight, and maybe against your innermost desire, your feet have been directed into this place. It may be through form, it may be through family, that you're in God's house. But I trust that you understand that nothing happens by chance. And it is the God of heaven who has led you here tonight. And he's brought you here tonight that your soul will be blessed, and that you will be blessed in such a way as never before. You have come here tonight with a load of sin. And it may be that I'm preaching to someone and you're feeling of late, maybe this last little while, God has been dealing with you. God's Spirit has been convicting you and you're feeling the burden and the weight of your sin pressing down upon your soul. And maybe the one next to you doesn't know the nature of that sin and the preacher doesn't know the nature of your sin, but be assured that God knows. And the sad thing is this, that there are times that you're content to sleep in your sin. You give it little or no thought about your sin. And tonight spiritually finds you like Jacob as a lost soul. Think of that. You're blind to the reality of where your sin is taking you to. And even less do you care about it. But friend, if you'd stop just for a moment, even for a few seconds, and just consider what it is for a soul to be lost for all eternity. No escape. Forever and ever. Lost. The Scriptures speak of God's wrath already hanging upon you. If you go on the way in which you're going, then the caverns of the damned will be your portion. And child of God, can I just say in close or in passing, I trust we haven't lost the burden or the vision of what it is for a soul to be lost in hell. For if you've lost that vision, you'll stop praying about them. I trust and pray that for the soul tonight unsaved, that hell would not be your portion, and that God's house tonight would prove to be a Bethel where God will meet with you meet with you, or you'll be saved. The visit to Bethel. But you know, there's also here the vision of the ladder. The question might be asked, how did the Lord find Jacob? We read in verse 12, and he dreamed. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And we just stop there. When you read those opening words in a dream, please don't think that you're just considering here some fanciful dream that human beings have to these days. Maybe your dream is very pleasant. Then the old alarm clock goes off. Time to get up. And you think that you've dreamed it all night. Well, those people who know, I don't know how they know, but they try and tell us it's only the last few seconds or moments of our sleep. And you might have a fanciful dream, and then your mother calls you for your breakfast and to get up for school. Listen, that's not what that means in verse 12. Verse 12 says, and he dreamed, you get into your mind and into your heart, here effectually is a revelation from God. That's what it means. For God used dreams when the whole canon of Scripture wasn't complete. And he used dreams in Old Testament. And Joseph, of course, comes to mind. And here he meets with Jacob, and he's there. He's lying. And he's a revelation from God. That's what it means. And when God deals with sinners, listen, he shows them Christ. And that is what Jacob was to see in this dream of the ladder. He sees Christ. This was no ordinary vision. I believe that this ladder represents a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that is confirmed to my heart, and it's confirmed to your heart when we hear what the Savior said. You want to see it for yourself? Just turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 1. It's the last verse of that opening chapter. It's verse 51. It says in his words, which are very similar to what we read in Genesis 28, and he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And didn't we read those same words in our text in verse 12 of Genesis 28? And the angels are said there to be ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Christ is the ladder. And of course, the message was to Nathanael that the Savior's earthly ministry would be marked by the presence of angels. And there were angels there that announced his birth. There were angels there at the time in which he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. There were angels at Gethsemane. There were angels there to announce he is not here, the tomb is empty, he is risen from the dead. And there were angels there when he ascended back to the Father. And listen, men and women, he's coming back with his angels when he comes the second time. The Lord uses a common letter to reveal himself, to show himself, even to Jacob. And every one of us in this house tonight knows what a ladder is. You'll notice, first of all, that its base or its foot was upon the earth. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of man. We read in John 1 and 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Often we read of his humanity. We read that he slept in the boat. We read that he was wearied with his journey when he came to that well at Samaria where he met the Samaritan woman. God had prepared a body for him, and yet he was born in that miraculous manner. He identified himself with human nature. He became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He was a sinless man who came to redeem his people from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ came down to us upon this earth. The foot of the ladder was on the earth. But moreover, the top of the ladder reach to heaven, where it says that, behold, a ladder set on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is not only man, but He is God. His goings forth, the prophet Micah says, have been from of old, from everlasting. He is the one person with two distinct natures. He became man, but He never ceased to be God. He never set aside His divinity. He remained God, and His word and His works and His miracles, they all proved that He was God, and He remaineth forever the God-man. He's seated at the Father's right hand. He's coming again one day in all His splendor and all His glory to set up His kingdom. And tonight, men and women, He ever bears the marks of our redemption. He is the blessed God-man. And dear soul, that's the one you need. Men and women, we do not preach to you tonight one who cannot take you the whole way to glory. That's not the preaching of this book. That's not the message. The message is not of what Christ has done, but you know you have to do this and add to it and then you'll get to heaven. Not a lump of nonsense. The ladder you see is set on earth, but it reaches right to heaven. You see, Christ became man so that He would die in our place and He would save us from our sins. And He had to be perfect man and He had to be God to be able to accomplish that work on the cross. But He is also God who will bring His people to their eternal home in heaven one day. The ladder of Jacob was to reach from earth to glory. There's something else that it is imperative that we see. The ladder was to unite both earth and heaven. Because of Adam and his sin, man was to lose communion with his God. Sin had created a great gulf that could not be bridged. Man could not bridge that gap. Man and his sin could not reach heaven. He's a lawbreaker. The holiness of God could not pass over that. God's holiness demanded that his sin must be punished. If man was ever to be able to be reconciled to God again, then there needed to be one who could bridge that gap. And what do we call that? We call that a mediator. One who stood in between. And that one needed to be sinless and at the same time represent man. And there was only one who could be the mediator. There was no angelic being. There was no prophet. There was no Mary. There was no prelate or pope. But God gave the gift of His only begotten Son. And so we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and the words of verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And Paul in his first letter to Timothy reminds us that there is one God and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It was the Savior who was to open up that way from the dark paths of sin. He was to make a way back to God through His sacrifice for sin on the cross and through His righteousness which can be put to man's account so that man stands justified in God's sight. The ladder you see that united earth to heaven. And there's one other thing about this ladder of Jacob that he was to see, and it is this. There's only one ladder. Jacob did not see many ladders that evening. There was only the one, and that one ladder was seen to reach to heaven. The world and the ungodly in it are bent on pushing the ideology of man that there are many ways to God. You will hear it said, no doubt, all roads lead to God. All roads lead to heaven. Oh, dear friend, lest you allow yourself to be conditioned by such erroneous teaching, let me repeat what the Lord Himself said in John 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. That excludes all other religions. That excludes all other ways and ideologies that man would care to believe in. You see, Acts 4 and 12 reminds us, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And you know what a ladder is for tonight. You know what a ladder's for. Now tell me honestly, in God's presence, are you on this ladder to heaven? Have you taken that first step of faith? You know what a ladder is. If you're going to use it, you've got to step onto it. There are the rungs on the ladder, and I wonder, I'm asking, have you taken that first step of faith and placed your all and staked your life and your eternity upon Christ? Have you been to the foot of the cross? Have you accepted by faith what the Lord has done for you upon that tree? You see, you must act upon what you've heard of Christ, for He is your only hope of heaven. He's your only hope. And He was Jacob's only hope as well. And God revealed Himself to Jacob via the ladder. That vision. Thirdly, I want you to notice here the voice of God. For when Jacob was to see this ladder, he was also to know the heavens open. And he was to hear the voice of the Lord speak to him. To be saved is not just some flippant decision. It's not just sticking your hand up. It is to know God. It is to be reconciled to God. It is to have access to God through the work of Christ on the cross. And the one who stood at the top of this ladder was God, the God of his forefathers, the God who had called Abraham, and the God who had called his father Isaac unto himself. And now Jacob was to hear the call of the Lord unto his own heart. And in hearing his voice, Jacob was to receive gracious promises that the sinner can have tonight if they'll come by faith to Christ and are saved. Not only was he promised, of course, the increase of his seed upon the land, and so numerous would it be that it would be likened to the dust of the earth, the very covenant promise that God gave to Abraham. But I want you to look with me at verse 15. For there it says, and behold, I am with thee. What words of comfort these must have been. What was Jacob assured of that night? He was assured that he wasn't alone as he made this journey. For the Lord came and said to him, I am with thee. And that is the one sinner that you need through the journey of life and out into God's eternity. It is the Lord who has said, I am with thee. It is the Lord who has said, I will never forsake thee. His promise was not only of His presence, but of His protection. Look again. And I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. No matter what trials or afflictions would cross his path, he was assured of the Lord's protection. The psalmist could speak of the same. For the psalmist could say, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Look at it again. He was also to hear the promise of power. He said, and I will bring thee again into this land. And you consider all that had taken place and the pursuit and the determination of Esau for revenge. It would only be the powerful and the mighty hand of God which would see him ever brought back to Canaan and to the land of his fathers. And God comes that night and he promises him, I will bring thee back again to this land. Jacob would know the power of God in his life. That power to overcome enemies. That power to rise above hurt and circumstances of life. And you know, there's one other promise. He was told that God had a purpose for him, for he would not leave him. Listen, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. He would not leave him until his journey's end was over. My dear unsaved friend, As we come to the close of this meeting, the promises in the gospel are the very same. Under Christ, as God's Spirit is dealing with you, and you will have one who will never leave thee. His protection will be your portion. The Lord will be your strength, and He will be your shield. He is indeed the safe haven. Proverbs chapter 18, in the words of verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and is safe. The repentant sinner who comes to Him will know His power. The power in the blood to cleanse away all sin. The power of His Spirit which will enable you to walk with and to walk for the Lord. That power of His Word that will enable you to overcome sin and the temptations of it. You'll know the power of God, for at the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit dwells within the child of God and helps you to walk as you ought. You see, understand from this vision that the purpose of salvation, of God and salvation, is that our link with this world and sin might be broken. A ladder. Think of it. A ladder must be stepped onto. And some of you men use your ladders brave and often in your work. But it must be stepped onto. And when you step onto that ladder, what happens? You're no longer standing on the earth. The link is broken. And so it is when that soul takes that step by faith and rests and depends upon Christ. Only the Savior is able to lift us up from the mire and the filth of our sin and deliver us from the power of sin. And only the Savior can lift us up to heaven itself. And the purpose of God's salvation is that that link might be broken. That you're no longer of this world, but you're in Christ. You're on Him. All human efforts are doomed to fail. You see, my mind goes back a few chapters in Genesis. I think it's Genesis 11, and there we read in the opening verses of those men who sought to build the tower unto heaven. And it's called the Tower of Babel. But it was a work of man, and it was doomed to fail. And my question to you tonight, in closing of this meeting, is, what letter are you on? What are you depending on to get to heaven? Is it a ladder of all your own making? Or is it Christ? God met with Jacob at Bethel. And He showed him Christ. He showed him the only ladder to heaven. And I wonder, have you heard the Lord's voice to your soul tonight? And as we've been singing, He's tenderly calling, look unto Me and be ye saved. Come to Him. You'll know God's purpose for your life, and He'll be with you until the waters roll at your feet and the journey's end. And even then, the Lord, like pilgrim, will see you safely over. Heed His call tonight. Start for heaven tonight. Take that first step of faith tonight for Christ's sake. And be saved. I pray that you will, for Christ is the ladder. The only ladder to heaven. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. And thank you for your attention. Tremendous wee passage and text that we've been looking at. Very common metaphor, as we've said, a basic ladder. But oh, my friend, that's one that you need. You need to be resting, depending alone upon Christ. If you're ever to be there one day, I wonder, will you come tonight? Accept Him by faith, repenting of your sin, acknowledging Him as your Savior. If we can be of any help, we're here afterwards. We'll open up the Scriptures to you. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank the Lord You met with Jacob at Bethel. We thank the Lord for that revelation that Thou didst give to him, even of the ladder, of the angels ascending and descending. And Lord, we know that when we get saved, then we're just like those angels. We have access to God by prayer, and we can bring the blessings of heaven down to this earth. Lord, we pray tonight that Thou would speak beyond the voice of the preacher. Thou would do that work that only Thou canst do. Lord, Thou would speak that effectual call to some soul. And tonight, Lord, that they would cease depending upon a ladder of their own making or their own imagination. Lord, tonight, they would pull down the puny arms of rebellion. And they would rest and depend solely upon the finished work of Calvary's cross in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, hear prayer. Part us now with Thy blessing and in Thy favor. Lord, as souls will seek to lay their head on the pillow tonight, give unrest. Give, Lord, a lack of peace if it takes that, until they make peace with Thee. For we ask these things in our Savior's name and for God's eternal glory.